CliffCentral.com.
Everybody, what a day, huh? Hey, Mubs?
What a time. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. I mean, if ever there was, I think this is the most interesting election since 94.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what people are saying, right? Justice Malata's busy tweeting up a storm this morning. I woke up, first thing I did, grab my phone and check the results.
Okay.
And it looks very interesting, but we'll get into that in a moment or two. Everybody, good morning. And good morning to Ben and to Mubs and to Flax and not to Peshitta this morning.
And that little yellow rhino outside.
Yes, because Peshitta, I've told her it's ridiculous that she's waking up so early. She leaves here at 5 in the afternoon or later. So I've said to her, you know what? Just chill for a little bit. Poor woman's up at like 3:30 to get here in time. It's not fair. All right, so, what's up? Should we get straight into news? Let's not waste a single moment this morning. It's time to get into the news with Mabale Moloi. Let's find out what's happening with the elections. That's beautiful.
Even though over 90% of the votes have been counted, the IEC have said that no declaration of any kind will be made as yet. That is only likely to happen over the weekend where, you know, basically everything is finalized and calls can be made.
All right.
But the ANC have been squeezed, Gareth, and for the first time since 1994, its support has dipped below 60% nationally. Ooh.
Yeah.
It hurts. Preliminary results show that it has lost control of the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro in the Eastern Cape, which is one of the highly contested ones. Opposition parties have started negotiations on how to squeeze the ANC out of power in more than a dozen municipalities, especially in urban centers.
Well, I just saw now that apparently they need a coalition in Modimolle, in Limpopo, which is interesting. Mogopong. It's amazing. I mean, these are places that we didn't even count in when we were talking with Justice yesterday.
No, we didn't. We were just focused on the three
the big metros,
yeah.
Well, let's go through some of these. Cape Town. Well, let's start with Ekurhuleni, which was a bit of a surprise. Only 47.4% turned out for the ANC, 30.56% for the DA, which means between them they will have to figure out how to put together a coalition of some kind, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's look at Ekurhuleni because I know we've got lots of listeners in the East Rond. Okay, so East Rond people, listen to what we are going to tell you now. Are you ready? So Ekurhuleni, 47.52% ANC at the moment, 35.79% DA, and 11% Economic Freedom Fighters. That makes Ekurhuleni one of the Freedom Fighters' strongest areas.
Right.
Now, if I add 35.79, Ben, you do the maths. Okay, you try and figure this out for us, Ben. I don't need anybody else doing it because the rest of us are already, we've proven to be useless in this respect.
Yes, Gary, let's take it from the top.
Right. So if we take the DA's 35.79,
yeah,
we add in the Economic Freedom Fighters 11.04, okay,
uh-huh,
and we add the AIC, whoever the hell they are.
The African Independent Congress.
1.63.
Oh, right.
And yeah. Vryheidsfront Plus, 1.02.
That is an orgy of a coalition.
How much we got?
49.48.
Ooh. Okay, put in Qatar Freedom Party's 0.98.
Yeah.
What do we got?
50.46.
That means that technically, if the DA can get all these people into a coalition, they have enough to run Ekurhuleni. Okay, let's look at Joburg. You ready?
Yes, because Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, and Johannesburg, there are no clear winners here, Gareth, which is why we're doing these calculations.
Correct. All right, now in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Johannesburg, city of Johannesburg, where Mabale and Ben and Flax voted. We have 41.3% for the ANC and 41.2% for the DA.
Talk about neck and neck.
All right. Now, the EFF have said they will never ally themselves with the ANC.
Yeah.
Which means that they're likely to make a deal with the DA, right? So, add 41.2, Ben.
Yes,
get your calculator out and put in 10.52. We got enough.
Well, yeah. Gareth, before I press the equals, this is going to go over 50.
That's right.
51.72.
So they could do that one as well. Now, what I'm thinking is, why don't the ANC and, I mean, the EFF and the DA get into a room and they just hammer out all of these and make like a nationwide coalition, and then they don't have to deal with the small añanas, you know?
Look, the Smolanyana parties, I don't know if they anticipated that they would suddenly be important to the big parties, to a big party like the DA.
These guys are walking around with hard-ons today. The AIC is so fucking excited they want to start asking for cabinet positions.
It's like in a typical romantic comedy, which is a lie, where the nerdy girl in the glasses does get asked to dance by the hottest guy at school. This is what the Smolanyana parties are feeling, right?
Right.
All of a sudden they want their attention.
But they must just all become the SA party then. Just all put together.
Okay, but hang on, guys. We haven't even finished in Gauteng yet.
Oh, goodness.
Because the ANC don't even in Mogale City, which used to be a stronghold of theirs, they've got 48.93. So, Ben, get out your calculator again.
Yes,
34.62, Ben.
Yes.
All right, you got that one? That's the DA. Plus the EFF's 11.65. Right?
Yeah.
Plus Vryheidsfront plus
2.25.
Yeah. Plus in Qatar Freedom Party, it's all those poor whites. And Qatar Freedom Party, 0.76. How much you got?
Only 49.28.
Oh. No, but wait, there's more.
Who's still available?
African Christian Democratic Party, 0.39%.
0.39%. Okay.
Got enough yet?
Not yet.
COPE, 0.36.
Still going.
Now we're really small on you.
Yeah.
50.03.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, okay, yes, goodness.
So that's enough for them as well. Now, I don't think any of these people are going to make alliances with the ANC. Unlikely.
Well, the EFF are the... I think it's the EFF and the DA are the only ones who've so far come out to say that they will not form an alliance with the ANC. Correct?
Okay. So, you know, Vryheidsfront Plus might.
Oh. But I'll tell you who you forgot, Gareth. And you might have made a mistake by forgetting. The UDM, the United Democratic Movement.
Bantu Holomisa.
Bantu Holomisa revealed yesterday that he has been approached to form a coalition by Musi Maimane in Nelson Mandela Bay. Okay.
Well, do they have enough?
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I shall check for you. Ben, get out your calculator.
So, apparently the DA leader approached Bantu Holomisa, but he told him, let's wait for the results to be pronounced.
Bantu has 1.85, Ben.
Okay, Gareth, that's good.
Only. Yeah.
Add that to 46.6.
Oh, you see, they would... They would still need to talk to the EFF. The EFF have what in Nelson Mandela Bay?
5.02.
They definitely need to ask
EFF. What about the others from the SAA? SAA amalgamation.
You know what this means? Like, this has got to be a coalition of the unwilling. It's got to be EFF and DA getting together. Because if they do, just listen to what they could have here. If the EFF and the DA get together and they make a blanket coalition... in order to run these metros. And let's say the DA said to the EFF, all right, we'll give you a cabinet post in Nelson Mandela Bay, cabinet post in Tshwane, cabinet post in Johannesburg, maybe even two in Gauteng, right? And then we'll take Ekurhuleni, Mogale City, Johannesburg, Tshwane, Nelson Mandela Bay. We've already got the Western Cape. Maybe they'd even say to them, you know what, maybe use it somewhere in the Eastern Cape, Western Cape. Who knows?
You see, this is what makes me nervous about the coalitions, is obviously during the negotiations, some people are going to be more greedy than others.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that risk of putting their needs ahead of the country's needs becomes a very real possibility.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But they have no other option. They have to... consider coalitions if they want to squeeze the ANC completely out of all these areas.
Look, the ANC is pretty much, we can from this day forward consider the ANC a rural party, which is quite something. I mean, they don't want that, trust me.
But can we though? Because the president can't even get his own village.
Oh yeah, he lost Nkandla to the IFP.
Hey, shim.
I wanted to ask a question with regards to the counting process of the votes. Are they sent to one central hub where they're counted and audited and everything?
Yes.
Or they're counted where they voted and then sent?
What happens is that they're counted up in the ward that they collected in, and then they're also sent for verification to the IEC center, the results center.
And then where do...
So it's double-checked. In fact, it's triple and quadruple-checked because each party gets to watch the counting.
I've seen a lot of my, like, accounting friends say they're going to go help count the votes and stuff.
Yeah, they'll get anyone who's qualified to, you know, to join the final tally. That's why they haven't put out the official results of what Mabali was saying earlier, is they will release the official election results this weekend.
Yeah.
They need to go over it and go over it and go over it. They've got to make absolutely sure it's right.
I saw in the news yesterday, I think it was Nelson Mandela Bay, that a whole ballot box was dropped there.
Yes. This is why the ANC have now been crying foul, Gareth. There's been a dispute with the IEC over fairness of the elections in the hotly contested Eastern Cape Metro. This comes after ANC national leadership confirmed that they are calling, or they would call, for a recount of the poll in Nelson Mandela Bay. Hmm. And this is because of the discovery of ballot boxes and papers in the metro. Apparently in Nelson Mandela Bay.
So who's calling for a recount?
The ANC.
Uh-huh.
They have approached the IEC to say that this has not been free and fair. All the, you know, batches of marked ballot papers were found in a tent on the premise, on one of the premises. The DA are saying, oh no, look, shame. Change is difficult, shame. Change is difficult. But then there's nothing nefarious here. Just, you know, go about your business and accept the fact that you have lost. Even the IEC have said that, you know, these ballot papers will not have a major effect on the results in the metro.
Wow.
So even they don't seem to be taking the ANC's cries seriously. But the ANC did say that they have called for a recount, or they are calling for a recount. No word yet as to whether or not that recount will take or how long this investigative process will take.
Wow, that's interesting. I looked at the Western Cape. You know that the whole of that province is now DA? Every single municipality, including Beaufort West, is now pretty much DA.
Well, the ANC had a sex offender, and what else is that going for them?
No, they didn't have a lot going for them there. Eastern Cape, obviously, the whole of the Eastern Cape is very much ANC. And then you've got this Nelson Mandela Bay anomaly.
Yeah.
But basically... anything in the Western Cape includes George, Knysna, Mossel Bay, Paarl, Stellenbosch, Somerset West, all the interior areas of the Western Cape, all of those, all DA now. Eastern Cape, everything ANC except for Nelson Mandela Bay and what was the other one municipality, I think it's called Kocha. That's between PE and
it's an industrial
St.
area.
Francis, yeah. But that whole area is gone to the DA, 56% to the DA. It's kind of mostly industrial, but it also has some pretty mountains and some pretty seaside. You know, places like Humansdorp and Jeffreys Bay, St. Francis Bay, and that kind of area. All right.
Interestingly enough, because, you know, we were talking about how this is possibly the most exciting election since 1994. The IEC released results earlier. 23% of eligible citizens didn't register to vote in South Africa, right?
How many?
23% of eligible South Africans.
Didn't even bother.
Didn't register. Mm. But here's the clangor. 40% of South Africans who registered didn't even go to the polls on August the 3rd.
Hmm.
So that's 18.4 million people who were registered to vote who decided, meh.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
It is interesting, considering all this excitement that's happening.
Mm. Just shows you. And the EFF have done well in some parts of Limpopo. For example, in Maruleng, they've got 17.23%. Not bad, right? In Thabazimbi, they've got 20.24%. In fact, Thabazimbi, there's going to have to be something there, because the ANC only got 45.3%. DA got 22.2% and EFF 20.24%. Again, this used to be an ANC stronghold, you know? Who else have we got? Polokwane. You know what the Polokwane results are? 27.8% EFF, 57.52% ANC. So it will go to the ANC, but the EFF doing very well with 27.8% there. They're official opposition in Polokwane. So you know what? They're little places that are suddenly going to find a change in government because the people in those places are sick to death of having shitty service delivery and they're about to get it improved. So good for them, you know. What else do you want to know about?
Yeah, look, this fight is obviously very hectic on a municipal level, but on a national level, look, the ANC are still leading. It's just concerning that, you know, they've now dropped to below 60% since 1994. So on a national level, the ANC are still leading the votes with 53.6%, which gives them 85 councils. The DA follow in second place with 27.4%, which means they get 18 councils. And the EFF nationally are third, with 7.4% of the votes, giving them, doesn't say how many councils that gives them here, sorry. Zero councils.
Zero, yeah, shame. Yeah. No, that's unfortunate. Okay, well, Rustenburg is interesting, because they're in Rustenburg, obviously, the EFF, also the official opposition, 25%. But I am surprised the EFF didn't go up as much as predicted. You know, everybody was saying, obviously, they were saying they were going to triple their numbers, which meant if they had 6 or 7%, that they would suddenly find themselves in the upper teens, even the early 20s. Mm. Didn't happen. Mm-mm. Didn't happen, with the exception of a very few municipalities, and none enough to govern. So interesting that we've got a situation now where a lot of places are going to require coalitions.
A lot of places are going to require coalitions.
I mean, for example, I'm looking at Rustenburg. The ANC don't have an outright majority in Rustenburg. They've got 47.5%, so they're close. But that will mean that they're going to need somebody to go into coalition with them to run Rustenburg, right? And here's what they've got. They've got the DA at 18.2 and the EFF at 25.42, so they together can't form a government either. So they'll also, the two of them will need many other partners. And then you've got these small parties like the F4SD. God alone knows what that is. Vryheidsfront Plus, AIC again, UDM, BCM, APC, UCDP, ACDP, COPE. And all of these parties, Ahang even, 0.00, sorry.
Well, that's zero,
believe it or not, in Rustenburg, Ahang got 0.03% of the vote.
Does that equate to exactly 2 votes?
No, it's probably like 3 people. You know, I mean, the whole of, there are only 43,000 voters in this district. No, sorry, that's wrong. 112,000. Okay, so they're quite a lot of people. But isn't that incredible? Like Rustenburg, you know?
It will be.
That's where they had that big ANC party not so long ago.
It will be interesting to see if any of the Smolanyana parties do decide to go ANC side as opposed to DA side, right, in the negotiations, because, you know,
oh, they will.
Maybe the ANC makes some of these parties a better deal than the DA
exactly
does,
it.
And then
that's
things change again.
Right.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Flex.
I've seen a lot of people like with chirps about Nkandla and the votes there. Is that really a real place, like considered its own thing, or are people just joking?
No, Nkandla is an actual municipality, yeah.
I thought it was just his...
No, it's a whole district, in fact.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was just his house that was so big that it took up a whole, village or something.
Hey, Mubs, what happened in Kwakwa?
I think most of the Free State is an ANC stronghold.
Is that Maluti Apofung?
Yes.
Is that your municipality?
Yeah, I think that's mostly ANC.
Mostly ANC, but there are little DA spots in there. In fact, jizzaz, Ward 006 there is 40.25% DA.
Oh.
And 47.2% ANC. So if the DA and EFF, again, if they make a master coalition across the board, they can take that one away as well. I don't know what these different wards are. It must be places like, Clarence?
Yeah. Look, most of the Free State is mostly
ANC. Yeah, and EFF did well in, I think, in Kwakwa. 36.32%. That was your mum and dad. They voted EFF, obviously.
Yes, of course. Yeah, sure. Of course.
There we go. All right, very exciting, everybody. That's a quick look at the election results. Let's get into Ben, because today is Olympics Day. And we're going to have a quick preview with Ben before we get stuck into everything else that we need to know this morning. The Olympics, big deal, and Ben's been building them up. in such a big way. We've been doing a countdown, basically. So, Ben, over to you.
And today, the countdown stops. Well, it doesn't actually. It starts anew. Because now it's 18 and a half hours until the opening ceremony. Yes, if you want to watch the opening ceremony, it'll be 1 a.m. South African time. So it'll be 8 p.m. Brazilian time. So just always add 5 hours if you're watching it on GMT plus 2.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Exciting times for the opening ceremony. Or will it be? Because there's no money, really. So we discussed yesterday, basically, the entire opening ceremony is just Elle walking up and down.
Yeah, it's being mugged.
And the rumor of her being mugged by a black man is a vicious one. It's not going to happen. People have said it's just a scandalous rumor that's been thrown out there. However, yesterday, a Russian diplomat, using the skills of jiu-jitsu, which is ironic because it's a Brazilian national martial art that, he managed to kill a carjacker using the carjacker's gun. So the Olympic flame had just passed this guy, right? He was sitting in his lovely BMW X6. And the guy broke the window of his car with a knife, tried to get the diplomat out of the car.
Yes.
Diplomat, being Russian, thought, not in your life. He then attacked the man with his jiu-jitsu skills, threw him onto the bonnet, and shot him with his own gun.
See, don't attack Russian diplomats.
Exactly.
You're asking for trouble.
So it does make me think, you know, everyone's going about how hard and tough and scandalous and terrible the Olympics is. But, I mean, everyone, it's hard, but it's fair, right? We talked about the pollution. All they told us was, just close your mouth. Don't get any water in. They told us about Zika. It's time of year. It's not going to happen. They told us about the muggers. Just no jiu-jitsu. See, Brazil's not impossible.
It's a solution sort of place, not a problem sort of place.
Exactly. There's a way around everything. Right. From being attacked at knife point to horrible bacteria, there's always a way to get around Rio. So we must enjoy it and use this Russian diplomat, Steven Seagal type, as an example.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so the fact that this is happening next to the relay of the torch, anything could happen in the stadium. The opening ceremony could be overrun by favela merchants, who knows. So that's going to take place 1 a.m. SA time, tomorrow morning SA, Saturday.
Right.
So there'll be 31, it's the 31st Olympic Games, it's 31 sports, 207 nations, 10,500 athletes. Now the opening ceremony is cool because you get to see countries you've probably never heard of before. So here are the top 10, well, the least 10 representations from around the world. Equatorial Guinea, they have 2 athletes.
Oh, yes, good for them. They also have Mabali's favorite president, Teodoro Obiang Nguema, her friend on Facebook.
He messaged me once, that's true.
Yeah, he's not competing. We've got some runners. Tuvalu, they've got 1 person. Oh. They've got a men's 100-meter runner. Somalia, they have 2 people as well.
By the way, do you know why Tuvalu matters?
Because it's owned by the Queen?
No. Because its URL is .tv, and they make most of their money by selling .tv to massive TV channels all over the world.
Very interesting.
Otherwise, no one cares about Tuvalu. It's an island where basically there are coconuts and sand.
Well, I tell you what. Etomini Tumiani, he's running the 100 meters.
Oh, good.
So there's Tuvalu's second claim to fame.
All right.
Somalia have 2 athletes. So when you see these guys walking around, very, very small groups. Chad, they have 2. Uh-huh. Swaziland also got 2. They've got 2 runners. Bhutan, they've got archers.
Bhutan.
Archers and air rifle shooters.
Wonderful.
That's what Bhutan's got, 2 of them. And then we've got Dominica. They've got a triple jumper. And 2 triple jumpers, actually. Nauru, they've got some weightlifters and the judoist. That's 2 people. And Liberia, they've got 2 people as well. So it's kind of funny, these guys walking out, especially if they're after like a really big country. Uh-huh. And then it's like Mauritania with just 2 people as well. So those are the smallest nations that you'll find if you stay up for this. So when Tuvalu comes out, you can say, ah, I know that guy, he's a weightlifter.
Thank you, Ben. You're so helpful.
I know. This is the Olympics. So the Olympics has kind of started. We spoke about Banyana already having a match. The football's already on the go. Brazil, they hosted SA yesterday. So the SA 23 side is there with a few other old people. So that's how it is. I think you get 3 or 5 players of age. Otherwise, your team has to be under 23. So they held the Brazilians 0-0 despite being 10 men in the second half. Denmark and Iraq also drew, which is a good thing because they're all in the same group here at the Brazil games.
Alright.
So decent start for SA under 23, but they did score many a shot at goal, unfortunately. Archery is the sport to watch today, though, Mubs. If you are looking to get in front of the TV, you can see archers from around the world shooting things from far away in a very sort of a bygone era. Of course, people don't have any bow and arrow nowadays. If they did, they'd people be mugged with them in the streets.
So then what do they use?
Guns.
Actual guns.
And knives.
Knives and mugging. Guns.
I mean, guns for show. No, for the archery, not the mugging.
Oh, guns for show, for knives for a pro.
For the archery, you use a bow and arrow, but I'm just saying, it's like a... It's an old bygone era thing, you know. People don't use them anymore.
What are their targets? What are they aiming at? Just like a
pretty,
board or...
It's a pretty big... Well, look, I mean, there's different distances, of course.
Yeah.
And the Asian women are particularly good at this. For some reason, they're a dynamite. So there is, like a hay bale with a target on it. And then they're always going for the bull. Speaking of animals, talked about Giselle, the golf course. The golf course is being close to overrun now with animals. So, you know, when they created this golf course, you know, I love golf, but I think it's sort of the stupidest thing that they've ever done in Brazil.
Yes.
No one plays golf in Brazil, but they've kind of bulldozed through a nature conservation to create this golf course, which is all good and well, you know, it's by the sea, it's all very pretty. But, so these golfers are coming out there, and they're going to be able to probably see monkeys, boa constrictors, ground nesting owls, caimans, capybaras, and three-toed sloths.
Oh,
these
good.
Are all the animals that are coming inside and making this golf course their home, because it is kind of their home anyway.
Mm.
But what's kind of interesting is that the capybaras, right, which is probably the most interesting animal in the world, it's a giant-sized rodent.
Yes, it is.
Can grow to about 70 kilograms, and they're really fun. Caimans like to eat them, as do jaguars.
Mubs, how do you like the idea of a rodent that big?
I don't.
But they're very cute, Mubs. They're very cool. And what they also like to do is...
Why not? I mean, it's beautiful. What do you mean?
No.
The capybaras love eating grass, so, you know, you might wake up and go play your next round, and then the capybara is completely devoured, like, the half of the sixth green. They're kind of like warthogs. They burrow into the ground and they just eat everything. So these guys are quite keen to ruin the golf course, and there's about 40 of them apparently inside the perimeter fence of the golf course. So it all looks nice, and of course Brazil and Rio is very wild. But a boa constrictor? I don't know if I really want that in the rough if I've pushed a ball out to the right.
Well, no.
And these owls are also quite menacing, and caimans, right? Now that's the kind of smaller version of a crocodile. Well, these guys particularly like the holes 2, 3, 5, and 9. That's where they like to chill.
We know exactly what the geographical location is.
So
that's great.
If the golfers were honest, they would have said, look, I just want to be eaten by a caiman. Screw Zika. The golfers have the legit threat of animals actually eating them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's your Olympic sort of wrap-up. In drug news, Russia has 271 that have graduated from the drug testing.
Did you get that picture I sent you of that Russian woman who managed to sneak through?
Yeah.
Mubs, did you see
some really
that
good ones?
No.
Oh, on the group.
I haven't checked.
Okay. I sent them a picture of, basically it's a big, burly man.
Bearded, big, burly weightlifter.
And it says, unbelievable, this Russian woman has been suspended.
This teenage Russian girl has been suspended. So the Russians, 271, which is
a like a 50-year-old Russian man with a beard.
271 is about two-thirds of the people who are already going to go, right?
Yes.
So that's a lot of Russians are still going to the Olympics. So
that's
271,
right.
That's 269 more than Mauritania.
That's correct.
So they've gone through the most rigorous of drug testing to get to this stage, and they will be tested at the village itself. So in a complete turn of events, Russia is probably the cleanest team now in the Olympics.
Unbelievable.
Who would have thought it?
Unbelievable.
Oh, Team Ireland, well, they can't say that because Michael O'Reilly's been bust for doping. Michael O'Reilly.
Oh.
An Irish boxer who was a medal contender in the games. Well, he might go home because he's been bust for drugs. Yeah, that's a drug update. Super Rugby tomorrow, big Hurricanes versus the Lions. The big question is, how are the Lions going to beat the Hurricanes? They've got the best defense. They've got Burden Barrett. They've got home ground advantage. They've got so much. They're an incredible team. And as much as the romantic in me always wants to say, the Lions have got a chance, and they bloody well do.
Uh-huh.
All of this, and I hate to pick out one guy, it all hinges on Elton Jenkins, right? Now, we all know the Lions have great set-piece play. Scrum line-out dynamite, that's really good. That's where they're going to get a plus over the Hurricanes. It's better than theirs. Defense-wise, obviously the Hurricanes are slightly better. They make more tackles. A lot of it's got to do with the rush defense. Now, the rush defense is quite an intense way of playing. So the Hurricanes are essentially probably the fittest team going to maintain this strategy. So it just means that you're constantly cutting down the space of your opposition, which is cutting down their try-scoring opportunities. In the playoffs, they have not conceded a try, whereas the Lions have conceded 7, albeit they did play against the Sharks, who were useless in terrible weather, and the Chiefs, who dropped the ball twice over the line. So, how is this going to happen? Well, Elton Jones just needs to play out of his boots, so to speak, and his intelligent kicking game really has to come to the fore, which is a good thing in two ways, right? Firstly, I think he can do it, and secondly, this is his greatest test yet as a rookie player, because he is the incumbent Springbok fly half, right? And in order for to be the guy who's going to do this and stay in this position, he needs to be that dynamic guy who can be banked upon with the boot. So we all know Elton Jones, last week he was incredible. He really was. The way he conducted that game was absolutely scintillating. But now he needs a next element, and the Lions have to have an intelligent kicking game and utilize the space out wide. And it isn't always going to be through passing and skip balls and floated balls. They need to draw in the defense and just turn these guys around. It's going to be a fascinating test this for Elton Jones, because he hasn't had such an amazing challenge before like this. And right. This Hurricanes team, well, they're obviously going to start as favorites. Some people are saying as much as 20 points. I don't think it's that bad. I think this Lions team, the travel's not a factor. I think it's a well-prepared side. I think all Ackerman's strategy is going to pay off for them on Saturday, but it hinges on Elton Jones having a great game. If he's slightly off color, not going to happen, because Burden Barrett right now I think is the best in the business. The Bok team will be announced after this match, so it'll be around 11 o'clock-ish. But speaking of Elton Jones and being the incumbent, Pat Lambie still can't train. It's been over 2 months now since he took a hip to the face and got concussed.
Oh.
This is a massive worry, right? A concussion.
What is Pat Lambie doing? I mean, is he sort of sitting in a corner drinking juices through a straw?
He's still getting the concussion symptoms, Gareth, which is a massive worry. Because
I mean, that's a big problem. You could end up like in a vegetative state.
Well, yeah. I mean, head trauma is a massive deal, right? Now, when you get concussed,
is tongue hanging out?
Maybe. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny. But when you get a concussion,
does he masturbate at the dinner table like JFK's daughter Rose?
Well, Gareth, these are all questions.
He wasn't lobotomized.
Neither was she. Before she was lobotomized, she was doing that.
So when you get a concussion, basically it's a couple of weeks and you should be back. Wow. And everything should be fine. But
I like Pat. This is very sad.
It's been over 2 months. This is such a worrying thing for a guy who is still relatively young. And shit, like, you know, where do you go? Because this long, right, darts start going to the head. And from there, Jesus, I mean, he plays a contact sport. This is really, really concerning for him. Curry Cup news. The Curry Cup managed to get a sponsor yesterday, and it starts today.
Oh, that's isn't that nice? Who sponsored
that? That's when you know SA Rugby is doing really well right now.
Who's
Gareth, I think...
Who's hopped in now?
Well, whoever it is. I think it's Direct Access, an insurance company, I think. I don't know. They must have got an absolute deal here. Just think of that. Absa pulled out, lots of money there. Didn't have a sponsor going into the week of the tournament, and these guys pull out yesterday.
Wow.
That's so cool for them. It's all about shopping around. Hey, you get a good deal in this country, you know what. So, Blue Bulls versus Western Province, that is tonight at 5:10, the big North-West-South derby. And then you've got the Pumas versus the Sharks. That'll be also tonight, 7:20 from Nelspruit. And then tomorrow, we've got the Bullet Cavaliers versus the Free State.
What?
That'll be at 3 o'clock in Wellington in the Bullet. Those are your Curry Cup matches. Football news, still nothing big on the transfers. Golf news, the talk yesterday about Nike pulling out of the equipment space.
Yes.
This is completely Tiger Woods' fault.
Oh, no.
Think about it, right? Nike made golf stuff on the back of signing Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was incredible. He was the best thing that ever happened to golf. They sold bajillions.
And then suddenly
Tiger
he wasn't.
Can't play. He's broken down. He's basically completely screwed. He's like Pat Lambie, but the whole body. And Rory McIlroy, well, he never adapted to the clubs properly. He was never the true next superstar. So they're going, well, screw it, guys. Tiger's dead and buried. Rory's not the guy who we wanted him to be at the stage, so we're pulling out. It's completely Tiger's fault. This is how big this dude is. You ever forget, as he sits now, how big this guy was? An entire manufacturing company like Nike in the golfing sense has stopped making clothes because of him.
Wow.
That is how big this dude is. In cricket, tomorrow, SAA will take on Australia A.
That's now, not the South African Airways, you idiots. It's the South African A side.
This is a big deal because a lot of the players in the SAA team are going to do battle against New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Well, mostly the ones who aren't white. Well, you know, there's no confirmation of the story yet. Cricket South Africa are umming and ahhing around this because, well, I don't think it's become law yet, because obviously you can't make quotas law, because then the ICC go, hang on a second, you guys are politically interfering with sport. Oh. So Cricket South Africa has not confirmed the fact that there has to be 6 players of colour.
Okay.
Whatever the phrase may be. Basically, people who aren't white of appearance, right? However you want to put it. It's such, I hate talking about this. It's such bullshit. So New Zealand Herald are running a story how Cricket South Africa has confirmed this. Cricket South Africa has not confirmed this. Everyone's just trying to, you know, beat the other one to the headline. But what it, look, this is the whole thing why I think this is a bullshit idea, right? And there's no point fighting about this on Twitter. Can you imagine if you are not white, right, and you are a merit fantastic player, you'll always be seen as quota. Around the world, people will go, oh, there's now got to be six players who aren't white. One of them's obviously cuck. Two of them's cuck. The moment the guy doesn't bowl well, doesn't bat well, he's going to be thrown.
See why he got in.
And he does not deserve it. None of these players deserve it. This is my major gripe. And I think we all need to condense these arguments down. This is the problem with the system. Not because people are being fast-tracked, whatever, whatever. These guys who are making it on merit are never going to be seen for the players they are, and that's why it's so bullshit. England, 297 all out. Pakistan, very, very strong in that first test, 257 for three. They had another century from a Pakistan batsman, which meant more push-ups. And then Sri Lanka, well, they're doing pretty well as well, 281, and they've got Australia reeling at 65 for four in that second test. Lots of cricket over the weekend, lots of rugby, and of course you've got the Olympics. 1 a.m. Saturday, opening ceremony, and lots of archery today. And I'll catch up with you on all that on Monday.
Thank you, Ben. Here are a couple of messages. Pantagraph on Twitter says, I'm listening to you guys on the app. My kid was not allowed to drive for 6 months after meningitis, you know, referring to the Pat Lambie thing. Obviously, the brain is very complex. And, you know, concussion in a completely unrelated way to meningitis obviously affects the brain. It's the only link between the two. But we still don't know what the situation is with Pat, if he's still going through some of the after effects of, you know, a concussion. I mean, you don't want that. Who needs that? The brain is hard enough to figure out when you're healthy. Imagine how much more complicated it is when you've got a bang to the head. And some other messages. Can I get to one of these before we go to Anthea? Let's go to Anthea first. Let me get my shit in a row here. My ducks in a row.
Yes, it's your shit together, your ducks in a row.
Thank you. And that's why I'd love to have you here to correct me when I'm stupid. Time for Anthea Gardner, everybody. Da-da, da-da. She worked hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She worked hard. All right, Anthea Gardner, do we have good news today or do we have bad news today?
We have good news today.
Excellent.
So the market was flat, but the big surprise is still the rand.
Yeah.
It's now trading 13.71 to the US dollar. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it broke 18 to the pound yesterday.
I saw that, 17-something, 17.9-something, right?
Yeah, it's back at 18 now, but that's more of a pound story, right?
Very exciting.
So sterling weakened as much as 2.5% yesterday after Mark Carney cut the benchmark interest rate from 0.5% to 0.25%.
Wow.
The first cut in 7 years and an all-time low for the Brits.
Interesting stuff.
What's really interesting is the commentary from the central bankers when they do stuff like this. And Mark Carney did say that he will do his level best to avoid a recession. So he does think that Brexit will cause a recession just by saying that, I think.
Uh-huh.
And that interest rates could go lower. And, of course, yesterday he did mention that he was implementing a range of measures to stimulate the UK economy. So it does look like there are big concerns about Brexit. Yeah, very worried. For us, of course, this weaker pound just adds pressure to the SAB Miller AB InBev deal because of the weaker pound. And the deal supposed to be concluded sometime in October, early October. And if this pound continues to be weaker, you know, what happened the last time was that the shareholders were asking for a higher pound price and the South African shareholders, obviously.
Yep.
And the British shareholders were going, no, we don't want to pay more. So, or the AB InBev, I should say, were saying they don't want to pay more.
Well, of course not. I mean, these guys were hoping for this deal to make them all extremely wealthy. And now that the returns are looking a little bit slimmer than they thought, they don't want a piece of the action anymore.
Exactly.
They think they could have spent that money better.
And it suddenly looks a lot less compelling for us from kind of, at where we are now at this £45 per share, there's really only about 3% upside to the SAB share price. So kind of really disappointing.
You see, currencies do hurt everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we were talking about MTN yesterday, and soon after we got off air, they put out a trading update. So the key information here is that Forex losses accounted for 1.35 rand, again, a currency issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then losses from their tower companies also 1.36 rand a share. Again, I think this is it's a currency issue. Really, really poor set of results. Very disappointing. Well, that was the trading update. The results should be out today. And so we'll obviously have a look into it more depth. But really, nothing exciting. Not a share I want to own at this stage. I mean, yesterday I was thinking that at some stage, maybe, but not after yesterday's trading update.
All right.
And then Mondi put out interim results as well yesterday. Revenue down 4%, profit down 8%. Also not good. The market didn't like it. The share was down about 2% on the day, so also very disappointing. And then Supergroup announced that they're acquiring a UK company, Fleet Hire, for £27 million. So obviously slightly cheaper now that the pound is weaker against the rand.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the market didn't like this. The share was down 1% yesterday. So not good for the stocks, really. None of it, unfortunately.
Sure. All right.
Yeah. And then today we're waiting to see what happens in the U.S. They're expecting their July jobs data out. We're expecting them to add 185,000 new jobs for the month of July. Anything less than that, I think the market will be disappointed. And then we'll see the market come off again. And really, again this morning, Asia trading very kind of flat to not much excitement ahead of all this economic data that we're waiting for.
Okay.
And then that's it, I'm afraid.
Well, it's not all bad. I mean, as long as you're an SAB shareholder.
And as long as you're long dollars or foreign currency. Or,
all right.
Or rand, I should say. In this
very
case,
exciting. Sure.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. And you have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anthea. There we go. Anthea Gardner. Quick look at the markets this morning. It's Friday. I don't know if we can have time today to check in with Justice Malala, but we can always catch up with him next week when the final results are in. And maybe we should do that. Have a chat to him, even if it's on the phone on Monday, Flex. You on it?
On it.
On it. I knew it. Thank you. He's very efficient, Flex. Okay. Apparently I've been sold out by Romain from the Renegade Report.
Okay, yeah, in what way?
Mandla, I love it when my listeners gang up against each other. It's the best. So Mandla says, if I listen to the most recent Renegade Report podcast at 54 minutes and 3 seconds, I can hear Romain, and he spells it with 7 R's, call you out and badmouth you. So shall we listen to that?
Oh,
yeah.
We
Let's
must.
Let's take a listen. This is the Renegade Report for this week. Let's see what these bastards are saying.
In the same way someone like Franz Kronier would use conservative,
right.
In a positive sense. The kind of publication, it's essentially become a very left-leaning one. I mean, you mentioned Albert Wächter. He is essentially the only guy left there who seems to write sense.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Justin as well has a column occasionally.
But it becomes more insidious because the Daily Maverick have the Daily Maverick gathering, and it's one of the premier events where politicians and people in the public sphere can actually meet private individuals and talk things about things publicly. The problem is not them. The problem is that the interviewer on the other side.
Okay, here we go.
They are all inherently insipid. All of them. They are journalists, but they don't know anything about policy or externalities of policy or anything like that. So they can kiss Julius Malema's arse for 20 minutes, but you won't get anything of value from it. Because the interviewers don't know anything. That's the problem. They know the inner machinations and who's fighting with who and who's fucking who in the ANC, but they have no idea what the
basic economics works.
The consequences of minimum wage or something like that.
So far, no mention of me.
Zwelinzima Mavavi, the worst person in the world who's never done anything right. Every prediction he's made and every person he supports has fucked him over. And yet he keeps getting invited.
It's not only a South African problem. So you see it happening in the States. We look at this
disgusting foul mouth.
You've got a candidate like Trump who has no policy positions.
By the way, their guest on this show is a guy called Mark Oppenheimer.
They do change.
He's an advocate and a free thinker.
Sure. And if their policies, they're on.
I think you've given me the wrong time here.
Do you see what he's getting at here? He's referring to you as the person who interviewed Julius Malema.
I didn't, though. I interviewed Julius here on Cliff Central, not at the gathering. At the gathering, I interviewed Musi Maimane.
I know, but Roman, obviously.
Roman, you fucking idiot. You got it wrong. Roman! I will cancel your podcast! You bloody French kniggit! Alright, well, you know what? I tolerate dissent in the ranks. I don't get involved in editorial on shows. That's what you got to understand here. I don't tell Andrew and Rory what to say, and frankly speaking, I don't have a hope in hell. You try telling Rory Sang Chabalala what to say. You can't do it. And similarly, I don't let Roman and Jonathan be influenced by external factors either. That's why they can talk like they do. That's why all these podcasts exist. You think I'm going to tell Tumi Morake what to do on her show?
You can try.
No, I won't even. And speaking of the other shows, let's hear what Casper De Vries has got on his show today. Are you ready? The Casper Radio Show.
Friday.
All right, so everybody get comfortable. Here is our message from Casper De Vries today, sent at 4:57 in the morning, this lunatic. This is the time he wakes up, all right? Listen to this.
Morning, it's very early. Here, where I am, the birds are not even out. They are all sitting with little knitted scarves inside their nests, and they are enjoying a day in. As it's quite chilly outside, I just have to say that today's show fills my heart with merriment and wonder. In the year of our Lord 2016, the month of the wonderful August, Emperor of so much. And today we got the boys and the girls of Cliff Central coming in, strutting the stuff. We got all the normal segments that you got to love and to cherish in the Casper radio show.
Talking a lot of nonsense this morning, huh?
We got a beautiful, bloody musical, man. It's on at the Monte Cassino, and I just happened to happen upon it. It's by Kirsty Smith, who used to work for me eons ago, and he produced this musical, Altijd in My Drome, which is like a send-up of a 1955 musical movie, Afrikaans movie, and it's delightful. And I've got most of the cast in today, and we're going to discuss that. So I'm very... It doesn't sound like it, but I'm very happy and energetic and... You know, full of music, darlings.
All right, there we go. Did you get any of that?
Smell birds.
Anybody? Anyone know what the hell he's talking about?
I don't know.
No. Right, so Casper De Vries. But that's what happens when you wake up at 4 in the morning. And the guy's just insane. That's the short way of saying it. He's insane. Hey, morning, Pashita.
Good morning, team.
Yeah, listen to you, all bright and bushy-tailed and bright-eyed.
I wake up at 4 in the morning, and I'm not crazy.
Exactly. You're not crazy at all with all that energy. Yeah. All right, so a couple of people have been messaging us, and let's see. There's S at ILNNOON. That's their actual name. And they've said, I want to get into your official WeChat account. How do I do it? But you've just messaged me from it, so you must know how. Again, lunatics. That was sent at 6 a.m. Then we've got Lindsay, who says, these local elections have shown me that exciting times of change are ahead in our country. Have a good weekend, everyone, and to the lucky bastards who took Monday off for the long weekend, don't worry, your Monday will be waiting for you on Wednesday. Yes, of course, Tuesday is a public holiday for Women's Day. Yes, so we will not be here on Tuesday morning, but we will be there Monday, and we will be there on Wednesday. So no long weekend for us, and if you are one of those people who has to get to work on Monday, we will be there with you. All right? Good. Sifred says, I reside in West Texas, and every time you play that Death to America clip, I have to turn my phone down. because the right-wing Bible thumpers I live with here in West Texas will kill me if they hear me with that. That's this.
Power, Akbar, death to America.
Right, you got to be careful. Message for Ben from Mandla. Two things. All right, Ben?
Yeah.
Firstly, Alistair Couture's talk is starting to worry me. Sounds Domingo-esque.
I know. I also think so. Hey? Well, I was going to get that next week, but you're right. It's kind of the same mold.
He says the Lions have played well, but it's not the right game plan for the Bucks. What the hell? Secondly, how can Couture hit the 50% transformation target if there is only an average of 8 blacks in each Curry Cup team, says Mandla?
Mandla, these are all very good questions, and there are no answers to it because there's not a rational person at the top making these things.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
I'm sorry, ma'am, you've got Ben the wrong way around. He wasn't talking about it.
Unfortunately, Minister of Fancy Sunglasses and Public Events, Fikile Balula, he doesn't understand that it's all grassroots up.
Well, maybe not for long because his attempts at campaigning for the ANC have resulted in nothing. So yeah. Maybe he's in the dog box.
Yeah, Mandla, it's a tough topic, but we'll get into it next week. I think Alistair Garcia is in such a tough position because I know transformation is a massive thing, and he was kind of given the job because nobody else wanted it, let's be honest. Who else wants to be a Springbok coach when you can't really control selections? But like I said about the cricket, it's just not fair on the players to have this transformation thing. It's given the wrong idea about merit strength, and they're going about it all the wrong way.
By the way, in a record, 15 hours since the Minister of Sport tweeted, you know, normally you can't keep him away from his phone. He'll be doing it while he's making a speech. 15 hours since he last tweeted to say only 35% of votes in Johannesburg have been counted. And then he gives the totals for the ANC taking 83 councils, DA takes 18, IFP 5.
Okay, well, now over 90% of votes have been counted.
Yes, but that's also why he didn't want to say anything, you know, because this minister has been working really hard. He's been given the job of getting out there and campaigning on his feet, and the guy's been running around. The Minister of Sport's been working harder than Anthea Gardner for his money.
The thing is, though, he's not working in sport. He's working in political spinning at the moment.
No, but that's
such
but my point is, Ben, yeah, he has clearly not delivered on that front because the ANC have not just dipped below 60, which was what Gwede was worried about, but below 55, according to the results at 90% in.
Very slippery slope.
I mean, this is the ANC seeing its backside. They're basically bent over looking at their own assholes right now, and Fikile is at the front of that.
I bet they never thought that this would happen. But
no. But you know, someone pointed out, I can't remember, but I think it was an ANC supporter on Twitter that I follow, said, you know what? We forget that the Western Cape was once governed by the ANC, that the city of Cape Town was once ANC.
Mm.
Now that's like distant history.
Mm.
Maybe the same will happen in Nelson Mandela Bay, in Tswane. Who knows? It's a very interesting time to be alive.
But I saw a couple of people have also been enjoying attacking all those celebrities that the ANC paraded as part of their campaign.
You know,
people on Twitter cannot
wait
to go for your jugular when the opportunity arises.
Yeah, well, you see, also, there's such a hubris, such a sense of overconfidence and swagger and arrogance that's been paraded around by certain people in the political lead-up to these elections that now a lot of people are going to get served some humble pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some of the South African population who don't believe that race baiting is the best way to run an election campaign, the majority of the population in this country have turned out in numbers to say that's not what we stand for. We don't believe in this stuff, which is why you're seeing such a switch, particularly in urban areas. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily against the ANC, but it is against this idea that we can't all stand together and make change. Because that's what's going to happen. Whether it's just on a municipal level, which is fine. I mean, maybe nationally you'd still vote ANC, but municipally you'll vote EFF or DA. And look what's going to happen. The municipality is going to switch. This means, you know, that this is huge. The DA will then control, if they manage to make a coalition in Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni,
Tswane,
which they probably will do, that will count the ANC out of the most important cities in South Africa.
I think that's their strategy. That's what
they want. Imagine a country where the governing party doesn't control the major centers, the urban centers, the places that are growing, the places that produce the money, that produce the jobs. It's unreal. It really is. So we've got lots to think about, but we'll get into all of that in a short while. It's 7 minutes after seven. Hey, Lockinville popping by a little bit later on. You remember they were at the school when we painted that school the other day, Kwazi Primary School in Soweto?
On Nelson Mandela Day.
Correct. And they're going to pop by and say hello to us this morning. They've just got back from overseas. There's lots to talk about with them. And we'll also speak to Carl Joshua Ngube, who is a top comedian in Zim and one of the top 10 in Africa. He's attempting a Guinness World Record attempt for the most stand-up comedy performances in 7 days. I think we spoke to Dave Levinson about this a while ago, but I'm very excited to speak to Carl Joshua Ngube, who will join us in a short while too. Yay, baby! CliffCentral.com